hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Where bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's horse. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rocket shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes,
y'all. Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. That dash is a hyphen. Also, go to your podcast provider, wherever that may be. Look for Control Issues. Download it. Subscribe to it. Rate it. Review it. Head on over to Spotify and listen to us over there. Twitch.tv.
Spin it up this week.
I told you I'm workshopping. if people have a Spotify catchphrase or thing they want me to say at the beginning of the show, you can write it at controlissuespod@gmail.com. We will field your suggestions. You might even hear them said on the show. Also, we're on Blue Sky. Control Issues Pod is the handle there. And I think I touched on everything except AMC. How you living?
Living well, A-Dub. Back with that consistency. Back to back to back weeks. I'm liking it. Keeping those swords sharp. Keeping the mind sharp. Keeping
it's like our sharp. Like our younger spry years.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. But yeah, bit life's been good. If we're on here, that means things aren't too crazy or health is good. So on a good streak right now is what I'll say. Dub, got that work life balance back post World Series. Mainly this week was nice. All about running some errands. Yeah, I got in my workouts, my two workouts. Happy about that. Ran some errands because I was falling behind on everything. I got killer. So I wasn't completely behind on the litter, but there were a couple of days where I should have changed it and I didn't get to it. So I got killer some litter and took care of his stuff. So
you got him the good shit.
Yeah, I got him the good shit. There's like rocks in it, so you know it's like of like good gravel.
He like paws at it. He's like, this will do.
Yeah, this is yeah. but yeah, got him some litter. Upgraded my modem. You know how?
Ooh.
Yeah, like when you have your internet services and they'll hit you up occasionally and be like, "Hey, you have a free modem upgrade just waiting for you if you just let us know." And it's like, "Oh shit, okay." Because mine had been on and off. Like some days it's good, but some days it's not great. And I didn't know if that how much of that is the work firewall. Like as I'm working, sometimes it'd drop. And then I'd have to just like give it a second and get right back on. And just certain hitches here and there with the wireless, just not the greatest. And I wasn't sure how much of that was just I need to upgrade my internet versus needing a new modem. Well, I upgraded it yesterday and so far it's been steady. It's been smooth, like no issues on my cell phone. So far, no issues with the Zoom. Didn't drop or any, didn't have to switch over to the other Wi-Fi. There's only one on this one. So that means that one is good apparently. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just got my errands, got my life a little bit in order. Still got some more stuff to do like car stuff, but for the most part, got the things that were most pertinent that need to be taken care of. So with that, I can't complain really. Everything's going great right now. How about yourself, A-Dub? How you been?
Not too bad. Made it to the gym a couple times this week. It's feeling good. Looking a little better. Yeah, nothing special, man. It's kind of bipolar with the weather. Like sometimes it'll just be like light spits hot. And then other times it'll be like, I should have wore a jacket. Kind of cold.
Oh, dude, yesterday, like I was in shorts for like a hot second. Then by nighttime, back in sweats again.
Yeah,
no, make no sense right now. I get to the bed. It's fall. Fall weather is kind of the best, but we're in that. We're out of summer, but we're not fully out of the heat yet. And so that's what we're dealing with on the West Coast. I'm sure on the East Coast, it's probably all brown leaves and cold weather and shit. But For us, it's kind of back and forth, but that is kind of nice. This is an LA thing that we get used to.
Yeah, the weather is definitely going through its awkward phase as it does
Yeah.
every year. Just trying things out, doesn't know where it's gonna settle, but eventually it'll cool down more consistently, which I'm looking forward to. I don't know if I mentioned it at the last episode, but I watched Weapons, and that movie was wild. Oh, we did talk about it because it was all about how the story is told, like the storylines are told in parallel, which I thought was really cool. But okay, so then I don't have to touch on that. What else have I been watching? I mean, I got a little deeper into a series that I talked about previously, which was The Reflection. It's that kind of Stan Lee meets anime meets Marvel style kind of show. Man, I dig the hell out of it. Like, it's kind of campy in an almost Scooby-Doo kind of fashion, but it has the seriousness and the continuity of an anime. It has like the art style of old school kind of like 50s, 60s comics, but then it moves smooth and the voice acting is top grade. My girl Lisa is just killing it, hit me with it, which is all the one-liners I need from that kind of wide-eyed Wizard of Oz kind of delivery. Like, oh, we're going to Nashville, the home of jazz. I'm just like, what? This is great. This is my favorite character ever. So yeah, I'm loving The Reflection, looking good, looking forward to getting to the conclusion, but also kind of saddened because it was quite a roller coaster ride with this cast of characters. And yeah, man, it's a little hidden gem that I'm glad I discovered on my own. Let me see. I'm thinking about going to see Predator Badlands, but I gotta see if somebody wants to go with me, whether it be my brother or my friend. So I gotta figure that out. But new Predator movie, I rarely go to the
No solo
theaters.
movie
It might be a solo movie. I'm
in.
not above a solo movie, especially since I'm, within walking distance of the Grove. So it'll be probably the first time I've actually done that in walking down there, just walking in the movie theater, ticket for one. Do that. Get my little walk back, maybe stop by some spots on Fairfax, see how things have progressed in the area. But yeah, so thinking about that for later. And yeah, man, overall not much, just cleaning up, keeping things tight, staying the course.
Yeah, I left off what I've been watching. The only show I've been watching is British Baking Show, where we're at the finals now.
Still going.
Yeah, still going. We had the penultimate episode last week. Friday was the finals, but you know how it is with us. We get like 10 to 15 minutes of viewing at a time when it comes to TV viewing. So we're watching it, and they have segments of the show. There's the signature bake, and then you got the technical bake, and then the final one is the
Yes,
showstopper. Yeah, so
the
now we're at the actually, you know what? We finished it. I completely forgot. We finished it last night. So yeah, we watched the finals. The winner, I won't say the winner in case there are people watching. Don't want to spoil it just yet for people. But yeah, the winner, I thought was well deserved. There could have been some surprises, but ultimately, I think the person who had been shown strength walked away with the victory, and it wasn't a thing of, well, you know, they just gave it to the person because they had a couple good weeks leading up. It was like, no, they were solid the entire time, and then the final bake was great. But all in all, British Baking Show still kills it every time. We can look forward now to they have the holiday edition of British Baking Show, where it's only a 2-episode competition, so it runs really quickly. All holiday themed banks, so that's always a good time. So that's what I'm watching right now, Ada. But back to you. I know you're about to set this up. What you been playing?
Hold on, I have
Oh
questions
yeah, yes.
because is the winner who you would have chosen?
Yeah, I we Marissa and I, we always have our as we go into the final episode, who do you think is gonna win? We both chose the same person this year, and that person definitely won. It wasn't a much of a shocker. Like there was three people in the finals, and it was really a 2-person competition. And even of the two, one of them was just more consistent, and that person brought it. It was I will say that person didn't have the best final bake, but all in all, if you account for the three different parts of the competition on the final episode. They'd won the first one. Second one, it was close enough, and then the last one, it was neck and neck, and I thought the better person took the overall competition. But I had a great fight. It was a great competition all the way until the end. Like the two bigs that went head to head were definitely top notch from what I'd seen the entire season, and you could have gone either way, but I think the right person won overall.
Last question.
Yes.
Who's hosting?
It's this dude Paul Hollywood. He's a
He's
I guess
back.
he
Okay.
yeah he's I think he's been there. He's just
Yeah.
there. So there are spinoffs, but it's Paul Hollywood and Prue are the hosts, and then they
Okay,
always
Prue. Okay.
yeah Prue's holding it down. Prue has the She has the fashionista thing going on. Like, just her outfits are always just out there, but stylish at the same time. And then you got the two comedic hosts, which is it's been Noel for the past couple seasons, and then they got the other chick. I don't know her name. Sorry, Noel's been around long enough where I know his name. Like, I don't remember
Yeah.
even the past host names.
Damn.
But
Okay.
yeah,
Maybe
Paul Hollywood holds it down.
I gotta pick it back up. Maybe.
What I like is he's Paul Hollywood's like just the right amount of criticism without the there's like the Simon Cowell host who's just like, you suck, you should never do this again, why are
Yeah.
you wasting my time? And
The
then like Paul Hollywood,
average gamer.
yeah, and then Paul Hollywood, he'll just be like, he kind of when he his criticism comes down to how close we are to the finals. So the early weeks, he's very light on the criticism. And then as they get to the point where they're starting to now like really have to, there's like a bunch of good bakers left and they have to really find the little differences and details that differentiate them. That's when he starts to get a little more critical. But even then, it's never a thing of like, you should never waste your time on this craft that I love so much. Like, it's not that thing. Like, it's
You
very
will
much
never
like
be
a,
my equal.
yeah, it,
Never.
yeah it's more like very much like a father. Like I had to be honest with you, but also at the same time you're still a great baker. So yeah, it's a great show. I love it. It's my shit.
One of my favorite Paul Hollywood moments was one of the contestants just it wasn't coming together. So they were like, fuck it. They just threw it in the trash can. And Paul was like, what, like, why would you do that? It was like, oh, it was terrible. I didn't even want to, put that out there. It was like, well, you have nothing to grade. So I can't give you any kind of rating. Who knows? You might have done better than somebody else who also had a bad day. But if you just throw something away, then we'll never know. So next time, present something. And that just kind of hit me in the heart. I was like, you know what? You can apply that to life.
Yeah, one of the contestants this season actually did a callback to that episode. Like,
Nice.
one of his bakes, or yeah, one of his bakes was inspired by that guy who tossed his. And they showed the whole video again and everything. But, I mean,
Oh,
I
man.
totally. There's so many times where people screw up the bake, but the taste is still good, and so they'll still
Yeah.
compliment them on the flavors, and it shows that you had the vision, you just didn't execute, and
Yeah.
sometimes that's well enough, but if you toss it, then yeah, it's like at that point, what are we doing?
Yeah, your presentation's all over the place, but your flavors.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I love that show. All
Yeah,
right,
it's a shit. Yeah, get to
but
that game, and
what have you been playing, or what have I been playing?
what you been
A-Dub
playing?
has been playing in the third person, of course, the Royal Wii. I've been playing Ark Raiders
Raiders, Raiders, Raiders.
nonstop. Let it echo into the abyss. Ark Raiders is just got a hold on me, man. I absolutely love the experience. I absolutely love the different maps, just the overall visual aesthetic, the art direction. I love the gameplay. I love the looting. I love the loot. I love the tension of never knowing if someone's going to be friend or foe, like never knowing if somebody's going to misinterpret your presence in a particular room as you being the first one in there or picking over the remains. Like happening upon a gunfight, watching somebody take somebody else down and not knowing who to side with. Like that kind of stuff. You have all these experiences and more, just like in a given session of playing this game from day to day. I can't honestly say that any 2 days have ever been entirely similar. Like, one day you're getting sniped from a place that you can't even see as soon as you spawn into the map. The next day you're making friends with like half the lobby and just sweeping through the extract, taking down robots effortlessly. Sometimes you get in, you get out quick. Sometimes it comes down to the last second. Sometimes you're fighting for your life. Sometimes you're the top dog. But Arc Raiders does all that, and I know we're still in the honeymoon phase, but I'm starting to think we might have to have a new entrant into the game of the year discussion, because like this game, it's not just that it's fun. It's not just that it looks good. It's not just that it's something that I like a lot. Like over the weekend, the concurrent player count continued to tick up on Steam up above 400,000, shattering the previous record of, I believe, 330. And people keep talking about it. There's etiquette being hammered out among the community. There's all manner of things. And there's a lot of open mic chatter. There's not a lot of aggression. There's not any aggression or toxicity just in the manner of people, being abusive or trolling other people. Like, I know your experience may vary from person to person, especially if you're playing in groups where, perhaps you're running into all the PvP people and you're not having the best time, as opposed to someone who's running into nothing but friendly folks and is having a blast, like exchanging items, exchanging tips, helping each other find things that are relevant for active missions, and completing recipes or other kinds of needs that people may have. And it's, man, I never played anything like this, even when I was forming my ideas of what an extraction shooter might be, just based on videos and information that I've gathered from various sources. Having one in your hands, especially one as well put together as Arc Raiders, is like it really hammers home the experience, and you really got to stick with it, because I imagine it's much tougher at the outset. But once you reach a point of comfortability where you have a vault of resources and equipment and keys of various types and mods and attachments, once you have a decent amount of skill points under your belt, experience, just general knowledge of the maps, where things are, when people typically go for them, how the action moves as the extraction points expire, like certain sounds and visuals that mean certain things. Like you get very familiar with the robot language, and you understand the ways that the various robots communicate their various states and like what they're doing, where they are, like what mode they're in. And it's this beautifully organic thing that I spend more time enjoying with everyone else instead of, being antagonized or antagonizing others, which I don't do. I'm not a player killer. I came close, but a dude begged for his life. He was like, "Yo, it's cool. I won't kill. I won't kill." I was like, "All right." Give him that cold stare for a second. Never let him out of my sight. Never put my gun down. Man, Arc Raiders is just something else. I'm looking forward to the next time I can get in the squad with my brother and his friend Matt, and just see if we can find less aggressive matches. I took the step of disabling crossplay just to see if perhaps a particular community might be a bit more aggressive and opportunistic than another community. So I'm staying in the console pool. So far, things have been mostly cool. And I love the cooperative aspect of the game. I'm not entirely a fan of the PvP aspect. However, I understand what it adds to the overall experience. Just that layer of tension that you never really know what someone's intentions are, or you never really know if you can trust somebody. You got to be careful what you say around people. You got to be careful where you are or what you're looting. You got to be real careful about stuff. You always got to have your head on a swivel. And allegiances are fleeting. So, there are a lot of chill people. Watch out for number one in the world of arc raiders. And other than that, I popped in Ghost of Yote just for a little bit. And it's absolutely stunning, as it always is. I finally unlocked the black dye vendor, so now I'm getting the black dyes for some of my outfits, and hopefully I unlock more because her initial offering was very scant. However, man, it's just taking some time away and playing with the combat after being refreshed, having palate cleanser experiences. I'm up to 70 hours in Arc Raiders. It's only been a week. I've been sacrificing sleep for that game, and I dread having to get back on a regular cycle because it means less Arc Raiders. However, we're talking about Ghost of Yote, and having been refreshed and palate cleansed, it's just I can see the combat more clearly and appreciate it when I'm playing it. I'm just pulling off action movie level stuff now. I'm getting in fresh encounters and just taking enemies out with ease. Just easily switching between the different weapons depending on, who has what and who's the most, what is it, imminent threat. And yeah, man, it's just continues to be an overall good experience. I tried to push the story once again, and it just continues to keep one of these Yote sticks out of my reach, and I don't know what to do. But at some point, I'm going to continue pushing the story and finishing that, probably between sessions of Arc Raiders. And yeah, that's about it for me. But AMC, what have you been playing?
Name two games, so I won't be here too long. Zelda, been putting more work in that, pushing through in just this area, the near the volcano, just searching all the side quests, searching all the caves. Like one thing I will say about Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, I feel like there's always something to say about it, but the handcrafted nature of it and the caves, like every cave is meaningful. One Every cave is worth exploring because there's like this spectral bullfrog in every cave, and if you take it out, it drops a resource that you can then trade in at like this special trader that's only in certain places of the map. But even then, like it all has its own meaningful experience every time. A lot of them are tied to side quests, but if not, then you might just come across a rare resource that you don't find in most caves. Or find even there'll be what I've come to learn is there's a lot of different outfits in the game in general, and they all each have their own different unique effect about them. Like there's a stealth outfit, there's one for skydiving, there's one for cold weather, there's one for extreme heat. There's one for sticking the walls, there's one for climbing faster, like there's one purely for defense. There are certain masks that are tied to the sages that roll with you and create a stronger affinity with them. So there are definitely different outfits that have all these different effects. They have different looks, and then you can upgrade them on top of that. And if you upgrade them to a certain level and you have like the full set, then you get a special effect on top of that. So it just makes searching the caves like you might just come across something like that. And when you find that, it's meaningful in its own way. And so just the game really gets you to explore and have meaningful reasons to explore as opposed to just exploring just to complete the 100% the game. And so I appreciate that part of Zelda. With Overwatch 2, you know how it is, just pushing more Zenyatta, hop on every now and then, get a couple matches. What I will say is I've been getting a couple wins this week, which I did enjoy. There was like maybe like a 2 day streak of like hot and cold matches, but then it just got back on pace, getting the wins back. Maybe the algorithm is working better in my favor again. But yeah, no, the what I've noticed too is at least like when I focus on just my play, is that when I'm dying a lot with Zenyatta, it's all about the spacing, because Zenyatta is very much a distance style of character. Like you can run up on Zenyatta and this could be a problem, but Zenyatta is best when you're at a distance, you throw that healing orb to the tank who's in the middle of the battlefield, you throw out that damage orb to the enemy that the tank may be going up against, and then you're sitting sniping with your orbs from a distance, just doing heavy damage. And it does like heavy damage on tanks. And so if I ever get caught dying, it's usually because I got too close to the battlefield because I was, just getting caught up in the action, maybe fought off somebody that pushed me in. I lost track of where I was, didn't get the spacing right. Next thing you know, another dude steps in and I'm fighting side by side with my tank as opposed to covering my tank from a distance. And so once I get back on track right there, it seems like the kills start going up, the deaths start going down, and my just overall play with Zenyatta just hits another level. And so just really enjoying hopping in every now and then, sharpening that Overwatch 2 sword and just keeping it going because it's that forever game for me. But that's all I got there, A-Dub. Let's take a break so we can hit these topics of the week.
Top topics of the
Of the
week.
week. All right, we are back, A-Dub. Would you break us off with that first topic of the week?
Top topic of the week. I was for real about to yes, y'all.
Yes, yeah. Every time
Every
I
time we
like
come back from a break.
it.
But yes, first topic of the week. Top
Yeah.
topic.
Wait.
Where the hell did it go? Here it is. Yes, it's so large that I couldn't see it up close. First topic of the week, Rebecca Valentine from IGN reporting massive news. Earth-shattering. What is it? Calendar shifting news. Grand Theft Auto 6 is delayed again
Laid,
until
laid, laid.
November 2026. I'm not gonna waste people's time with too much ambling about this. I'm just trying to find the blurb where they talk about it. Whatever. The tagline is the team needs additional time to finish the game with the high level of polish players expect and deserve. So yeah, not much to report here. GTA, a game that has already been delayed, has been delayed again. So it's just a little further out of theoretical reach, considering maybe this might not be the last delay, as some people would have us believe. However, it's another 6 months. We were originally scheduled for May 26, 2026. Now we're on schedule for November 19th, 2026. So actually, we went from being less than, or what is it, about 6 months away. Now we're a year away again. AMC, how does it feel knowing that when GTA 6 is finally out, you will be even older than you were supposed
Yeah,
to be?
I'm being old man, Dev. Yeah, I
Seriously,
mean,
my back's starting to
it
hurt.
is. If we'll just say, I'll say it every time. Delays are, I guess, better than getting whatever version would have been forced out before, if they were not to address whatever issues they're working on right now. So, take your time. This game is big enough. Every game is big enough that it deserves like all the time it needs. It should never be rushed out because of a quarterly report or some bullshit like that. Like, just take your time, let it get in the best shape possible. This is a tough one because it really messes up the industry. 'Cause I'm sure there were some November people, some Call of Duty producers who were sitting there like, all right, we know we're good because we're in November. We ain't got to worry about GTA. It'll be out earlier this year. There'll be a significant amount of time before we have to, before our game comes out. And unfortunately, so that gets pushed back. It's gonna stack fall, which it makes a game like this of this magnitude, it makes sense as a fall game. It really can launch whenever the hell it wants to, but it always makes sense as a fall game, as a stocking stuffer. And so
That's
they
a hell of a
can
stocking.
Yeah, and so it's gonna be like $100, so it's gonna be a heavy ass stocking.
Rumors, insider info.
Maybe that's what the delay is about. It's like, hey, we could run it up if things keep getting worse. So,
Run it
yeah.
over, things get worse. They'll be more likely to spend the money. if it's near a holiday.
Exactly. But yeah, the big thing is it screws up, I'm sure, a lot of holiday releases. And it's interesting because we saw, like, with this year, like, this holiday season has just been absolutely stacked. Like, there's games that have come out, games that are coming out, games that still have yet to come out in the near future. The kind of thought process was stack all your games in Q1 before Call of Duty comes out. But now you got your time. So maybe some of these games, they might get further. We might see further delays for some games, or we might see some games that were intended to come out in fall now getting pushed to an earlier date because, you know, we're in that release window point for a lot of games. Or we might see games now just get pushed off until 2027 that we're planning to come out at towards the end of next year. So it's going to screw things up, and it is what it is, but I'm not sad. There are already so many games coming out right now. Like, we're hitting our stride. This is what I will say is a lot of people talk about. There's a lot of talks about next generation already, like what's coming with the PS6, and will there be another Xbox? Will it be a PC hardware thing? Like, who knows what it's going to be? PlayStation with this portable device, but people are like kind of ready to move on to next generation. I mean, the way I feel, like, this generation is just hitting its stride. Like, developers are starting to get more out of the console, games are starting to come out in better shape. Like, there's a lot less issues when it comes to games at launch right now. The games are just hitting their stride. And so I think with GTA, you also want that to really hit its mark. It makes sense to delay it, take all your time, let all the bugs and shit get worked out. Maybe some AI will come along and help you out in the process with development. But yeah, it's I'm not too upset about it. Hey, Deb, how do you feel about your beloved GTA 6 getting delayed?
I mean, I'm of the same mind that I was at the previous delay, and that mind is we're just drowning in absolute greatness. I don't need more water. I don't need GTA coming and just destroying any kind of meaningful progress I could be making toward my backlog and getting through the games that have come out this generation, let alone some of the hangers-on from past gen that I just love going back to or have vowed to finish at some point in time. So, a GTA being delayed, one, that's great because the more time that can spend cooking, the better it's gonna be. I'd like to really read deeply into their desire to exceed expectations and give players the, what is it, the level of polish that they expect and deserve. I'm hoping that that has a tangible meaning when it comes to how the game is going to perform and be presented on consoles. Like I'm hoping that this is because they're trying to hit a 60 frames per second target or something like that. AMC don't believe me. AMC doesn't think it'll
We
happen.
still we haven't gotten it for Red Dead, right? That's
No, we haven't.
still waiting for
And actually some interesting Red Dead news, but maybe I'll quick hit that later. No, Red Dead is
just
doing extremely
selling
well.
well. Yeah,
Extremely
selling
well.
well. Yeah.
And like, well, actually I'll talk about, since it's a quick hit and I can tack it on here, it's Rockstar news, but like Red Dead has reached 79 million units sold, bringing the franchise to a total of 106 million, meaning that Red Dead 2 has outsold the combined units of Red Dead Redemption and Red Dead Revolver by like more, almost 3-1, but definitely more than 2-1.
But it's not the better game.
Well, I mean, it's the number four best-selling game of all time behind the likes of Minecraft at 350 million, GTA 5 at 220 million, and Wii Sports at 82.9. So it's looking very likely like Red Dead Redemption 2 could possibly take the number three spot, meaning Rockstar will have two of the top three best-selling games of all time. And if GTA 6 does in fact hold the promise of going beyond people's expectations and delivering a level of polish that gamers quote unquote deserve, then I'm of the mind that we might be seeing very soon a world where Rockstar has claimed the top three spots of best-selling games of all time. And once you have Once you have that kind of status, it's just like you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, for whatever reason you want. And I'm very, very excited to see what that kind of world looks like. AMC, given this additional information, given what Rockstar has said about how they want to release this game, do you have any expectations that hopefully they exceed?
The GTA 6, yeah, I mean, you imagine it's gotta, especially for all the criticism that Red Dead 2 received, and yet despite that criticism sold, I feel like GTA is one of those games where it doesn't matter. It's like people seem to just enjoy it for what it is, and it would be a huge shift for people not to buy it. Like I was talking to my coworker who just left the company. But he has a kid, and his kid he's now of that age, and he said his son was already talking about GTA, and I'm like, oh damn. So he's already at the point where he's looking ahead, like he's not just reacting to what's out. And then I went that because I saw a commercial, or I went that because it was on a shelf. Like he's reading up, he's looking ahead, he's researching, getting that wish list going, and one of them things happens to be GTA 6. And so yeah, I feel like once like games hit that point where like everybody is already anticipating it, people who are the other example I'd bring up would be wrestler John Cena. He's in his retirement tour right now, and they show kids like crying in the stands, and I'm like, these kids weren't around for the nostalgia that we're all experiencing, and yet they're still crying in the stands when this guy's on his retirement tour. Like, as far as they know, he's just some old man who decided to come back to wrestling, but they're still having the same reactions that kids 15 years ago had. And so there's something to that, and I feel like GTA is at that level where whatever it is, its popularity is still translating to a younger audience that doesn't have the entire history that we all have with GTA. And so when you're hitting that point, then you're printing money, you're telling the president what to do, you're setting up banana republics around the world because you can do that. Yeah, it's GTA, and it's Take Two, or 2K, whatever. Take Two
Take two,
and
which is
Take Two.
also
It,
2K, so two.
yeah, and they're just running the show, and we're part of their world. So yeah, I imagine it's going to sell really well because, yeah, as I said, Red Dead had its criticism, and it didn't matter at all.
Now, AMC, there's another question because, all this talk about GTA, we have to consider all the other developers and all the other games that might be affected by where GTA chooses to make its landing. What do you think this means for Sony and Wolverine?
Oh yeah, that game better be coming out in early fall. If it like,
Yeah.
I imagine that game is going to be slated now for maybe September. If not, it might get pushed to August.
Like you could do mid-October at the latest.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, if you hit September, people are hungry. One thing is games, people, we need content, and so you drop it anytime in September, people are playing it. You drop it in October. Early October, people are playing it, but the problem is you want to stay out of that. We're now hyping up GTA window, like we're weeks out from launch, and so we're talking about any little trailer, we're talking about any little possible leaks and rumors leading up to launch. Like it's all anything is available content wise when it comes to GTA. That's going to be what the algorithm is seeking. That's going to be what the AdWords are looking up and all that shit. Like it's going to be all GTA. And so yeah, you have pretty much September, and then anything after that, you're starting to compete with the noise that is GTA.
Man,
What do you think? When do you think Wolverine's dropping based on this? You think it gets delayed to next year?
that would be bad because that would be Sony breaking a promise. They said, well, not necessarily breaking a promise. I think they said they would have one to two first party exclusives a year, but I'm tacking that one on there because I'm not sure if they just straight up said two. But whatever. I
Well,
mean,
they'll have
people.
Marathon will be one, so then you know
That's a
what
good
that is.
point. Well, that's not an exclusive.
Oh, exclusive. Okay,
Or maybe
that's
they
the
didn't say
caveat.
exclusives. Maybe they just said
First
first party
party.
releases. In which case, Marathon would float, and Marathon can either be given a better footing or
Wait,
perhaps.
side note, Ark Raider, is that free to play?
No, $40.
Okay, because I remember that
40
was
or
like,
$50, something like that.
that was a big thing with Marathon, is people were like, you gotta make it free to play. So after playing an extraction shooter that you had to pay for, you think Marathon gets away with that price tag?
40 or $50? Sure. I
80
could,
bucks?
well.
80 bucks? Is it worth $80?
I'm not going to begrudge any company that charges what they feel they deserve for their game. All I can judge is my personal level of interest and how that weighs against my desire to get in a particular product. So, if they want to charge 80 and I'm looking at stuff and I'm just feeling that itch, like let's see if another company can knock it out the park like Embark did. Let's see if lightning can strike twice. That's what I was looking for. But
But yeah, $40 totally worth it. Sorry to detract you. Yeah.
it's all fine. Like $40 is a decent price point for these kind of game. I mean, it's a decent price point for pretty much every game. But Silk Song could have been $40, and I'd have been like, "Yep, day one, let's do it." But yeah, Arc Raiders at 40, like I've thoroughly gotten more than my money's worth out of that game, and there's still so much more juice to squeeze. Like, dude, I've played thoroughly two of the maps, but there's one that I've played a few times, and there's one that I haven't even seen yet. And then with their November roadmap, they're talking about bringing another map to the situation. So it's like I'm going to be playing Ark Raiders for a very long time, especially if they can keep the content coming. But, man, it's just if Marathon can somehow give us a similar stream of support, and if the game like has a similar like just size and feel to it, and that was a strange phrase to utter, but if the maps are have a reasonable area and the gun. I mean, I know Bungie is going to knock the gunplay out of the park. That's what they do. We're talking about Destiny. We're talking about the original makers of Halo. So I know that's going to be awesome, and it's probably going to be even way more awesome than Ark Raiders feels to control, even though that feels like an awesome game to play. It's going to be first person, which loses some interest with me, but. Extraction shooter. I'm sold. Like, this is one of my favorite new genres right now. Or maybe Ark Raiders is just one of my favorite new games, and we'll see how the genre fares once more games come out. But okay, so they have Marathon, that's gonna come out. Wolverine, I mean, you gotta do early October. You're not doing November. You got Call of Duty and GTA. That's insane. So I don't know, man, but I got a few people who think they know. They got the word on the street. They got the word under the bridge. We got troll of the week, troll of the
Troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week, week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week, week.
troll of the week. Coming sideways, Rockstar, GTA, anybody in the line of fire, just make sure you hide your kids and hide your wife. First troll says they probably need the extra time to make more invisible barriers, so if you walk 5 feet in the wrong direction, you'll fail your current mission. Dude, I was heavily annoyed back in the day when it was like, it's an open world game, but you're doing a story mission, and if you just like maybe you make a wrong turn, or maybe somebody in opposing traffic veers into you and knocks you off course, and you go down a wrong turn, mission failed. It's like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? I can more than make up the distance and catch them up. And I get it, they're trying to preserve a cinematic quality when it comes to the games, but it's one of those annoying design choices that kind of conflicts with the overall messaging that the game gives you, that it's an open world, you go anywhere, you do anything can happen. Then they hit you with these rigid mechanics. So, maybe this dude's on to something. Next troll says, look forward to playing in 2027. Like,
Vaporware.
It's starting. Next troll says, Rockstar is a liar's company. I'm not waiting for GTA 6's release because it's only PR. More vaporware.
Vaporware.
Next troll says, watch it end up being a 30 frames per second buggy piece of trash.
Count my frames. Even the pisser can't get it up to 60.
If Rockstar says they want to exceed people's expectations and give us the level of polish we deserve, I don't think we're getting 30 frames, man. I don't know. I don't know.
Get that
Next troll
third
says,
person mode. Wait, no, I already have. Forget that first person mode right out the
out
gate.
the box, that would be
Right out the gate.
crazy. Last troll says, icing on the cake. There's still going to be a day one patch. Troll of the week.
Week,
Troll of
troll of the
the week.
week,
Troll of
troll of the
the
week, troll of the week, 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 week.
I just can't get
Scraping and
down.
scrambling.
Just mining all those last little nuggets and flecks of negativity before the God descends from the heavens. GTA rules the landscape.
Scraping and scrambling. They got bringing those scab developers to help them out, get it across the
Damn, not the scabs. So, but AMC, you got any words for these trolls? Scabs. Crossing the picket line. Hey, you. Anyway, I'm gonna let you get us to the next topic of the week. Top topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week. Oh no, not another delay. Oh, we got more delays, a dub. Coming
Damn.
by way of IGN, coming by way of Leslie and Poole, coming by way of Skydance Games, Games, Games.
Interesting.
Article is titled Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra, delayed beyond early 2026. Six.
Oh,
So let's
wow.
see. Coming just an hour after A-Dub broke the story that Rockstar would be delaying GTA 6 from May to November, Skydance Games announced Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra was delayed beyond early 2026. In a statement, Skydance Games said the delay was necessary to fully realize our vision. Tellingly, no new release window was offered. This is yet another delay to Rise of Hydra, which in May was pushed out of 2025 to early 2026. Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra is a narrative-driven adventure featuring Captain America, Azuri, the Black Panther of the 1940s, Gabriel Jones of the Howling Commandos, and Denali, a Wakandan spy embedded in occupied Paris. Paris, Paris. A dub, how do you feel about this delay? Are you worried? We got what? EA canceled our other Black Panther game. Are we worried that this game is on life support? Where you at, A-Dub? How you feeling about this delay?
Well, I can't form any hard judgments or come to any conclusions. However, I have a compromise or a proposal, given especially since we're getting high profile delays, the likes of which we only really experienced in the beginning of this generation when things were offset by COVID. But okay, we get some big ones. So here's my idea. If you're gonna delay a game, you also have to show some recent clip to at least give people something to hold on to, something to grasp on. Like, hey, we need more time, but this is how far we've gotten. Like, this is what we've got, or this is what we're going for, and like, this is what we feel we can accomplish. You know, instead of just like, we're gonna push it out just a little bit more, but trust us, it's fine. Just
We
give
got
us a
you,
little nugget.
baby.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll take a dollar today and pay you back on Tuesday. So, just and insofar as this delay, they haven't shown gameplay yet. They've shown a lot of in-engine stuff, but they haven't shown how the game actually moves, what's going on. So, as much as they can need more time to polish. We have no idea of knowing that maybe something just might not be working. Something might not be coming together, but that's the negative take. I don't want to cast aspersions.
Is
So
it maybe Neil Druckmann's fault? Is he trying to take down Amy Hennig from afar?
no,
Sinet's
I
good.
think if I'm going to put it on a more realistic perspective, which is what I should have led with, it's an incredibly ambitious game. It's running on Unreal 5, which comes with its own complications and hurdles to get through. I mean, Tim Sweeney issued his response
It's the
to
developer's
people.
fault.
Yeah.
You guys just don't know what you're doing.
Just need to optimize better. And while I do subscribe to that, because there are problems with Unreal 5, however, developers seem to be fixing those problems post-launch, which means that those problems could have been mitigated or lessened in the development cycle. But at the same token, it's also a new upgrade to the engine or a new version of the engine, and it's being updated and upgraded all the time. So, it's being handled from both ends, but it's still new. People are still mastering it. It's going to have its hiccups. It's still going to be a while before we start getting those really, smooth, just what is it, well-oiled machine Unreal 5 games out the box. So, I can probably attribute this to just them, especially with the way people have been reacting to Unreal 5 games when they launch with any kind of issues. It's like they don't want to run headfirst into that, especially with this game. Like you said, Amy Hennig, she hasn't been in the spotlight in quite a long time. I'm sure she'd like to shift this, and I'm sure she'd like it to make the money back. So I'm sure everyone involved would like to recoup their investment. So, maybe there's just Unreal 5 issues and they need more time to iron that out. How about yourself, AMC?
Yeah, I mean, I want my Black Panther game. When the EA one happened, I was fine with it because we knew we had this coming. So I was just like, ah, whatever. Yeah, I can't be greedy. Pigs get slaughtered. I'll take one Black Panther game. Yeah, then we got this delay. I am a little worried. I still feel like it's coming. It's a Marvel property. I mean, who lets go of a Marvel property?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's there. We got Wolverine coming, so I guess my curiosity is if they would want to avoid being so close to Wolverine, just because it's a lot of Marvel. We got Marvel on Marvel action going there,
You know
and
how
seeing.
people get when there's just a little too much Marvel and a little too short of a time frame.
I gotta start
Yeah,
looking at the writing then. Yeah, and so
got a TV show and a movie.
yeah, and so yeah, you don't want to come out too close, because, and then you get into the comparisons, like, well, which one? If I can only play one, what am I playing?
There we
So yeah,
go.
you really want to get this right. It'll be interesting to see if they just forego the year and just go to 2027, because they didn't, as the article mentioned, they didn't give a new window. They just said it's now outside of our previous window. And so yeah, I think this is one of those ones where they're leaving it open-ended. So it could be 2027 is the only takeaway I'm really getting here, is they are taking their sweet ass time. I throw on top of that, no trailer, as you mentioned. So we are almost in vaporware territory. But yeah, we shall see.
Stroll of the week.
We shall see. I could see this being a possible 2027 game. I really hope we get this game, because there's nothing like old timey Captain America, and you throw on top of that early days of Wakanda. I'm all for it. So come on, get your shit together.
One more take.
Yes.
Perhaps in the wake of the newly announced GTA delay, and knowing that because that crater is moved to the end of the year rather than in the middle, maybe the company has enough foresight to, okay, let's pull this off the table real quick. Let's see where the chips fall now, and then let's pick our date within that. Because if the game was slated for like a early 2026 or something like that, like sooner rather than later anyway, I would see a delay to beyond early 2026 to be like, let's see what the newly reclaimed May 2026 looks like. Let's see what June and July look like, because now you might have more breathing room in that space than you thought. So I could also see it just as a strategic delay and also an opportunity to give the team more time to polish, even more than they would have if they stuck to their original date. So, yeah.
All right, well, that's all I got there. Let's take a break. A-dub, we'll come back with some more topics of the week.
Topics of
Of
the
the
week.
week. All right, we are back. A-dub, you break us off with that next topic of the week.
Topic of the week. Excuse me. Got something in my throat. But next topic of the week. In keeping with my ongoing experience with our creators, Embark has put out a roadmap for the content we can expect for the remainder of the year. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I will just hit the highlights. So, ongoing stuff that we can expect to be happening over time continuously is new map conditions being introduced, new feats and trials, new cosmetics, QOL updates, and more. However, in the month of November, we're going to be getting a new map, Stella Montis, a community unlock event. I'm under the impression that that's something like in perhaps a Helldivers or something like that, where you do a particular mission or a particular area or a particular activity, just repeatedly until you fill up a meter and then you unlock something for the entire community. But I could be wrong. Let's see how Embark wants to do this. I didn't play the finals, so I don't know what their approach is to how they do post-launch support. However, I'm looking forward to figuring out with everyone else who's jumping into our creators as their first Embark game. Next point for this month, we're getting new arc enemies, specifically the Matriarch and the Shredder. So you can let your imagination put those together. Going to be getting new gameplay items, specifically that means weapons as well as utility items, and new quests for the month of November. In December, you're going to be getting the snowfall map condition. So all those locations you know and love, you're going to see them with a little snow on them, maybe. Going to get the Flicker and Flames event. Going to get a new expedition departure window. If you missed the first one like I did, maybe you'll have your caravan ready to go. So you get your prestige on, get your passive benefits. Getting a new raider deck, which I'm personally looking forward to. I think the deck that shipped with the game kind of gave us a sense and a feel for what to expect. Like, I like the cosmetics and the items that it added, and I'm ready to see another pack of that. And as always, new quests, then there's an and more thing, and I'm looking forward to what 2026 has for Arc Raiders, but for now, the remainder of 2025 looks like it's going to be adding quite a bit. I mean, the arc having two new arc enemies is just going to introduce is a whole new level of tactics and movements that you have to embrace in order to safely make it from point A to point B to point C to extract, hopefully alive, hopefully with all your stuff. So, yeah, man, looking forward to these changes. The game launched like as clean as any online game could ever hope to launch. I mean, there was minor connection issues here and there, but nothing serious like, oh, the servers are crashing, 30,000 people are queued ahead of you, like none of that stuff. So they came out the gates good. They got themselves a good plan. They have the experience from developing and supporting the finals. AMC, do you think there is any chance you might get into Arc Raiders knowing that Embark is in it for the long haul? They're going to be supporting this thing. The players are there. The numbers are showing that we got something. How do you feel?
No, I'm happy for him, but it won't get me in there. If anything was gonna get me in there, it would have been Helldivers by now. And if that hasn't been enough to pull me over, it's gonna be tough to get me in that space as of right now. There's too many games that I have on my wish list, and then when it comes to just kind of like that jump in multiplayer player style of game is always Overwatch. So I'd have to break away from that, but mainly the big thing is I just have so much going on that There's no way I would personally get into it, but I am happy that they're capitalizing on this success. They have their content plan, roadmap starting to align, and they got to keep feeding this beast because people, as you mentioned, are sticking around, and the best way to keep all these people around is with more loot and more reasons to extract. And so, yeah, I think it's one of those things that you got to feed the beast. And so I'm glad that they're at least on top of it as of right now.
I need them to put out official Arc Raiders merch because I want some Arc Raiders in my place. And they also need to do a full or an oversized art book, like just the art of Arc Raiders, break down the whole design process, show like concept art, process drawings, like all that stuff. I'm loving it, man. There's something special about this game. I'm looking forward to hearing remarks about it and seeing what consideration it gets when award season is finally upon us. But AMC, you got our next topic of the week, top
That
topic of
topic of
the
the
week.
week. I had a couple ways I could go here. Those would probably make it to quick hits if we even make it to that point. But this is an A-dub topic, but I felt like it was something we need some catharsis. Because I know every
Okay.
now and then A-dub, he's looking for it. He's like, it's like, like the mom, they keep the light on, hoping
Oh, I know
that like the
exactly what
pet
you're
will
about
come
to do. I
back.
know exactly what you're about to
They
try.
keep the light on, hoping that the pet that ran away might come back home. You never know. There's always a possibility it's coming, A-Dub. Well, I guess it's not coming because we have an update. But this was in an article, or this was in an interview. But I'm pulling the article from IGN, Wesleyan Poole. So here's the title of the article: "I question if you can even make a good open world spy game." Rockstar co-founder Dan Houser finally explains why Agent never happened. Yeah, a little backstory. Every time, every now and then there'd be a conference, and it'd be like, "What's going to get announced?" And A-Dub would be like, "This is, I think this might be the year the agent comes back." So yeah, man, we got a little update here, A-Dub. So yeah, let's get into it, and then you can give me your thoughts. So, Agent is a Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption developer's long-lost spy game, which was announced on as a PlayStation 3 exclusive back in 2009, but has since disappeared. Rockstar has never officially canceled the project, but images leaked back in 2015 showed some of its levels. While some hope remained due to renewed trademarks, this was eventually scrapped in 2018, and its website was shut down in 2021. Keep the light on. But yeah, so we got an update here. So what happened to Agent? Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption writer, your boy Dan Houser, now of Absurd Ventures, has finally offered fans a detailed explanation in an interview with your boy Lex Fridman, or Friedman, I should say, on the podcast.
Yes.
So according to Houser, despite multiple versions of Agent being attempted at Rockstar, the game never came together. And that's because fundamentally an open world spy game simply does not work. I'm gonna read some of this article. "We worked on a lot of multiple iterations of an open world spy game, and it never came together. It had about five different iterations. I don't think it works." Let's skip ahead. Because yeah, we did see a little bit of Agent. The version of Agent Rockstar announced was set in during Cold War in the 1970s, but Houser revealed that this was just one version of mini Rockstar tried and failed to turn into a fun video game. Let's see, this is one version. There was another one that was set in the current. We had so many different versions we worked on and so many different teams. Jumping ahead in the article, so because one of those films, referring to espionage films, they're very, very frenetic, and they are beat to beat to beat. They go here and they save the world. You got to go there and stop that person from being killed and then save the world. An open world game does have moments like that when the story comes together, but for large portions, it's a lot looser and you're just hanging out and you're doing just what you want. And I want freedom. I want to go here. I want to do what I want. I want to go over there. And I want to do what I want. And that's why it works being a criminal. But because you fundamentally don't have to be told what to do. We try to create external agency through these people, kind of forcing you into stories at times. But as a spy, that doesn't really work because you have to work against the clock. So I think for me, I question if you can even make a good open world spy game. So lots of things would work in open world games. So we just see this is like a stream of consciousness. Hey, Dub, how do you feel about Agent never coming to fruition? Because in Dan Houser's experience, or at least as he put it, he thinks that spy games just do not work in an open world setting.
I mean, he's the expert. So I'm not gonna sit here and say that he's wrong or that he just needs to think about it a different way. Nah, I mean, hey, if that's the reasoning, I'm glad to know that they at least tried five different things in order to give it as much opportunity to become something entertaining and then something that people would enjoy. You know, rather than something that they just put their name on and just gets forgotten, like something that just had so much promise and never truly came to be. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Just watch. This is going to be one of those situations where the moment I lose the faith and they come back with a teaser trailer, and I'm just like, the devil got me for just that minute. You know?
So I do have a question because, so I guess he's talking specifically about spy films, but we know that there has been a million Assassin's Creed games made. So would you say that there's something different about the spy nature, the espionage nature of Assassin's Creed versus what Rockstar would be going for in a spy game?
Well, I
Oh,
can't speak.
and you also played what was that, 1940s game? The black and white
The
one?
Saboteur.
Yeah.
Oh,
Was that
so
open world?
good. Yes, it was.
Okay, so
And
you've had some.
it was open world, but it took place in France.
So you've had some experience with spy games.
Oh,
But
absolutely. Hitman, all that stuff. Well, that's a
yeah.
Hitman game, but you know.
So you, have, are you accepting this? Are you accepting that Agent is officially done, Ada?
Well, what we haven't seen really, it like, because I imagine that they were trying to do something where you are a straight up spy. Like you have gadgets, you have targets, like they have tendencies and routes and schedules and they have details and just, I imagine that there was a lot of like inching and moving toward that, those goals. But then you have to think, you gotta have all these different locations, then you have to like, it's not just one open world map that you could focus all your energy into. It's now like five, six open world maps, which is, you know, you can do that smaller scale hub base. And I think a company like Rockstar could absolutely do something special with a handful of really dense, smaller maps than, you know, just the traditional massive, you know, different concentrations of content, you know, spread out organically kind of thing. So, you know, I accept it, you know, maybe they couldn't figure it out. Maybe they're just not the company to be able to do that kind of game. And I'd rather a company admit when something is just outside of their reach than to just go for it anyway and screw the pooch on it.
Yeah, I mean it's weird. It's Rockstar, and so I felt like if they wanted to do it, obviously they would have done it. And it was during that time when they were putting out, you know, various different types of games. So if they really felt like it wasn't going to work, then it probably wasn't going to work. It is a little weird because you just look at it, and I feel like you could do a game where it's like it's an open world, but you got to kind of keep your cover a little bit better. Like you can't be driving off road and just crashing into people, into pedestrians. Like you can, but you're gonna bring more attention to yourself and you might blow your cover. And it would be dope. Like it's like if you build up that wanted level, you got to get to a safe house, lie low really quickly, and then maybe change up your disguise a little bit. So I still feel like there's a way you can make that work where you're a spy in a setting where you're amongst enemies, like as you said, the saboteur or something along those lines. Because they did say like the one of the options was like 1970s, so they were willing to do kind of different periods of historical periods of times that you could like work out like a spy scenario in. And so there is a part of me that thinks that you could make it work. And maybe at the time, with the technology that they had available, he is saying it somewhat like present tense, so he might still feel that way. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a way where you could make it interesting, where you could be in an open world setting, but it's gonna be tougher. Like, it's gonna be tougher to move around, and you can't just get away with doing things willy-nilly, because you do have a cover to maintain, and there's a overall narrative that you're trying to focus your way towards, as opposed to just, have your lulls and shits and giggles and bullshit like that. So I don't know. I still feel like there's a possibility for it, but it is nice that he at least put his stamp on his reasons for why it never came to fruition.
As you were describing that and just thinking about the elements that you're addressing, it just hit me out of nowhere. While it isn't itself a massive sprawling open world game, filled with NPCs and physics and dynamism from here to infinity. However, it's an excellent framework for what could be a spy game, and that's the Citizen Sleeper games. Easy, because that whole game is your character is being pursued or has to move through the systems and the modules and the various plan or the various locations within their region of space, all while maintaining a job or like maintaining steady work and a steady income of credits in order to buy resources, to buy food, and to continue to stay out of reach of the forces that are trying to capture you. And it's like the game works on timers and turns, and there's a day. You only have a certain number of actions you could take per day. You have to make each of those actions count if you want to make the hit the important milestones that are necessary to advance the narrative in an advantageous way, rather than just advancing the narrative all willy-nilly. So, just with that as a framework, I feel like it's scalable and you could change that easy to where you are a spy and you gotta move closer to your targets. You gotta gather information and intel, but that requires you to like work your way into like establishments or companies or into social circles and things. So, you spend a little time here, you make little advancements, do little things, do little jobs here and there, do backdoor deals and stuff. And you keep moving all those meters up, but then you're always at the mercy of the timer of the investigators that are on your tail. Like, oh, they're in the country. Like, oh, they're on my scent. Like, oh, they're outside in that van, I gotta get out of here. Like, it could be like a Jason Bourne kind of game could easily apply to that. But with the spy thing, you just bounce around and you're staying one step ahead. And the more stealthy and the more clean you are on your missions, the more time you have before the investigators catch up. Like, you could continue to spiral out with those kinds of ideas and dynamics all you want, but I'm not a game designer. I'm just a dude who really loves playing them. So don't take this as me trying to tell the industry like you're wrong and you should have just tried harder. But
Yeah.
there are things you can look at. I'm glad they had the humility to just admit it, and I just wish we could have got an official like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah. 'Cause you never know. Yeah, but it was nice that you get that update. That's all I got there. A dub, let's take. You got any quick hits? You got quick hits, right? Come back.
Can I hit you with one? I just want to
Yeah,
hit you. I just
cool.
want to hit you with one.
Okay, yeah, what you got?
Gotcha. Okay, so these are for the people, the expanded media approach of gaming these days. We got another one coming AMC. So Rebecca Valentine from IGN reports that they're finally making an Overcooked reality TV show.
What?
Yes. See, the series is in the works
What?
for Netflix from A24. This would be A24's first reality series. The reality show is supposedly an unscripted format along the same lines as Nailed It and Floor Is Lava, and will feature kitchen challenges with a bent toward the kind of chaos you might see in the Overcooked video game. Trying to cook meals in the beds of two moving trucks, for instance. Probably, I'm sure. It's just reading the article, so it's rolling with it. The show is in the early stages and is being produced by Gemma Langford, Oli Devine, and Phil Duncan, all members of the developer Ghost Town Games. AMC, as a person who is a fan of video games, as a person who is a fan of cooking food, is as a person who is a fan of television shows and how all these elements can come together. How do you feel about this announcement?
Oh, I think it's genius. It's like at the moment you started running through it, the moment you said it, I was like, oh yeah, of course, that would make total sense. The nature of when you have all those shows where the job is to just mess with the contestants, but on top of that, it's the communication and everything. And so like if you get it like where that all of a sudden like stuff just starts moving around or things just like faulty equipment, it just immediately starts going haywire. Things where you gotta, or like just orders start coming in, you gotta start cranking out stuff, and people are like, I work my station, you work this station. Like that's all there, and it would work perfectly. It's interesting too. First, what video game reality show? So that will be different. I guess there's been like Nick Arcade and shit, but this is like, I'm assuming this is gonna be a more adult. I love it. I think it's a great idea. I think there's gonna be chaos. People love that show, Wipeout. So this is gonna be Wipeout with cooking. So I think it's gonna work really well. What do you think about this idea? Is it a cash grab?
Hannibal Buress loves to wipe out. I mean, everything that a business does is a cash grab. We all know and love that fact of nature. However, with it, I'm kind of liking it, and I want to ask the question: when do you think we hear someone say in real time, authentically, "Just chop onions"?
I think in the first episode we hear that because I think it's coming.
Because you played Overcooked with people, so at some point someone is being told, like, okay, your only job is to chop onions. Just do not stop chopping onions.
That's like, let me help out. I want to wash some dishes. Dog, your station catches on fire every time you leave.
Oh, they got dirty plates sitting in the intake, like, what? Nobody's washing these. Then I gotta get off the grill. It's like,
I
yeah,
love it.
I'm excited, man. I'm British Bake Off fan. What is it? The barbecue showdown. I'm all about that. Love me some Michelle Buteau. She hosted 2 seasons in a row, but it's also a good show. It's got other people on there whose names I should know by now. But yeah, man, I'm about cooking shows. Is it Cake? I pop that on every now and then, and Roy Choi and Danny. I'll just say Danny. I don't know what his last name was. And yeah, man, just all these cool people with these amazing cooking shows. Cooking is awesome. Sometimes you get the gall to go in and try one of the recipes and it works out well. So, I'm pumped for this. I'm looking forward to see how they adapt the game to a show format. And yeah, man, A24 and Netflix, it's a good combination. So optimistic, can't wait.
All right, do you have any final words before we get out of here, A-Dub?
It's getting cold outside a little bit, so bundle up, get your ramen, get your hot cocoa, and enjoy the looming vacation that we'll be able to appreciate one last time before the world is changed forever when GTA 6 drops.
Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. We are Control Issues.
Thanks.
Sucker.
Thank you.